Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
From
bridge, to boy,
from blue,
to boy,
from man,
to white,
and back again.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
And I'm Brendan Levi.
And we are the Swapcast Podcast. Every episode we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. This week we are watching the 2000 science fiction film Exchange, starring Stephen Baldwin and Kyle MacLachlan, where in the future, a man's body is hijacked by a ruthless terrorist in a world where it's faster to travel by exchanging bodies with someone at the destination. As always, we love to hear from our listeners, so slide into our DMs on Insta, send us an email, or chuck us a review on iTunes so we can get to 100 reviews and do an episode on Face Off already.
I feel like that's going to be the most like in sync that we've been in a long time.
Yeah. So yes, we've finally been reunited. We're in my living room for the first time in like over a year.
Wow.
So we made it.
Yo.
Yay. And for what a movie.
Wouldn't it be ironic if, because we don't have the vaccine here, we all got COVID and shared it with each other now.
Exchange killed the Swapcast podcast.
That's Darren. He's my personal trainer. He puts my body through its paces once a week.
Josh, that's you, in that buff body. And this is your trainer.
Darren.
You exchange with your trainer?
Yeah, well, why should I bust my ass for good abs? Let him do it. I get more work done that way.
It's very strange to me, okay? But it is your money, so if you want to flit from body to body, go ahead. Ask me, you're nuts.
All right, so on to Exchange. This film has some big selling points. Mainly, it was directed by Alan Moyle, the director of Empire Records, a film beloved by members of this podcast. It stars Kyle MacLachlan, an actor I know you guys both really love from his work on Twin Peaks. And on top of that, it features a sci-fi premise that's full of possibilities. So why has Exchange mostly been forgotten? Lucy.
I don't know why this movie exists, even. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I have never seen anything like this in my life.
Yeah, I have to say, like, the common complaints about the films that we choose for this podcast is like, we're seeing the same movie over and over and over again. I don't think you can give that complaint to this film.
All right, it has some problems. But at the start, I was actually like, oh, I think this might be something really fun and good.
No. I felt like it was radiating off of Kyle MacLachlan's whole performance. He's like, I from David Lynch films and in this movie, he was like, please let me get to the bit where we swap and I don't have to be in this piece of shit anymore.
Yeah, right. Hey,
he was so bashful. It was fucked.
Look, I have to say, yes, this movie is bad in some ways, but I can't say I didn't have fun. Like, I enjoyed watching this film.
Yeah, so, like, it's fun to watch in a room with your friends and laugh at it and then dissect why it's so bad. But if you put this up high on the list, I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to say, like, I'm just so glad that we got to watch this together.
Yeah,
there's nothing better than four or five sex scenes with some close friends, you know?
And sex scenes!
And not even like mild sex scenes. These are like full-on softcore porn sex scenes.
But I have never felt so like not
aroused.
It was disgusting.
Unroused.
Unroused, that's right. And it's not like they were having gross sex. Like, you know, they weren't like doing weird toe stuff or anything like that. Like, it was just horrible to
yeah,
watch.
The director definitely didn't make it sexy.
No.
Like, he put
they were like the sex scenes from music the room. They were like yeah. the sex scenes from the room. They were just horrible.
Yeah, yeah. The sex scenes of the room, but if you put them to like upbeat jazz music instead of like sexy music.
Yeah, and just like no mood lighting, like full daylight sex scene, like just horrible.
Yeah. And the fact that they felt so like superfluous to the plot yep. as well. It's just like, we need one in here now.
Yeah,
yeah, there's literally like a point in the movie where the love interest pushes away the protagonist because he's not in the right body. And it's like, no, we can't do this. But then the
Smash
director was like,
two.
Well, you're going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have a choice in the matter, dear.
God. So I don't know if I'm skipping ahead, but I cannot wait to see you try to sum this up in 30
What's
seconds.
What's the plot?
Yeah, because as far as films that we've covered go, I think in terms of plotting, this is definitely one of the most complex.
Ambitious.
Absolutely.
Complex movies.
And dumb at the same time.
And I couldn't sum up Disney's Brother Bear in 30 seconds. I don't know how the
I don't think if I gave you 20 minutes, you'd be able to.
Yeah, this is
going to be a long episode.
This is, yeah.
You don't even want to try or?
No. I will try, but I am not confident in my abilities.
Okay,
here.
So just some notes from Brendan and I. Don't go, okay, so hey guys, this movie's about this. It's like, go in hard, fast, straight away.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Okay, act one, act two, act three. Get the fuck out of there. Okay.
Ready?
All right.
Ready, set, go.
So it's.
I'll give you a do over because I really believe in you. I believe in you. Hey, okay, hey, ready?
All right.
So just start. Alec Baldwin, whatever. Alec Baldwin's not in this movie, but you know what I mean.
Alec Baldwin, Freely to a Kiss, Meg Ryan.
The Baldwin's parents had sex. A Baldwin was born. And there was another Baldwin. Okay, here we go. Ready, set, go.
So there's a corporate person and he needs to go to another state, but he doesn't have time to fly there. So his boss makes him exchange bodies instead, which is the sci-fi premise of the movie. He exchanges bodies to go there, but then he's actually exchanged with a terrorist who runs away with his body. So then he needs to get back to his body. They want to hold him in a cell. So then he changes into a clone's body and then he uses the clone to track down the terrorist. He has sex a bunch of times.
That's it. That was pretty good.
That was pretty
I feel
close.
Like if you had maybe another 15, you would have got there.
So I have to say, like watching this film, there was points where I'm like, so who does he work for?
Yeah, no, I got so lost as well.
What's the worst thing is like names. I suck at names. Yeah. So even when I'm watching a film and they're called like
at
Greg,
least you recognize the faces.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Kept
but
changing.
Then they keep swapping bodies. I was fucked.
Yeah, like there was one point in this film where I thought he was working for the FBI. I was like, when did he start working for the FBI? Because he like uses his security pass to get into the FBI office. And then it just smash cuts to him talking to an FBI agent like they've been like friends yeah. forever.
I think it was just the equivalent of like going to the police station and making a complaint, and him doing the ID badge thing was like, you just have to do that to get into any building. Like yeah. you need a badge to go anywhere. It's like doing the COVID check-in.
Yeah. So this movie is set in the near future, I guess, the beginning of the
tomorrow.
Film. The film says tomorrow.
Which this, you know, it's like it's set in the future,
yeah.
but there's newspapers. But you can swap bodies with people. Like, it was the worst attempt at the future I've ever seen.
They used the underwater cameras, those news reporter cameras and stuff like that.
The cars yeah. were all, like, Volvos, and it was yeah. just, like, they mark here.
90% of the car, or even probably 99% of the cars were normal, like, early 2000s disgusting cars. But then there's, like, these weird, like three-wheeled cars driving around.
And, you know, like everybody used credits to buy things. Like they had yeah. credits instead of money. But then, you know, when he gets that bag of tricks that's going to help him, it's literally like a Velcro satchel. Like they didn't yeah. even try to make it look futuristic or sci-fi.
Yeah,
or
he
cool.
went to a store that was basically like, is it Q from Bond? Like,
yeah, yeah, yes. To give him like futuristic weapons.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
it was Velcro.
Yeah, he's like, if you put your ID badge in this Velcro bag, they can't track you anymore.
Like, I feel like we could, with the shit that's in your house right now, make a better prop. We could craft something together than that Velcro bag.
Well, like, I think looking at it from the lens of somebody that lives 21 years after this film was made, like, some of these things seem a bit stupid, but you have to realize that some of these things were futuristic technologies that we now use.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Like, they predicted Siri, for example. It was called George in this.
Yes.
But sci-fi usually dates badly.
Yeah.
But this was a very bad attempt at.
Yeah, this is no Blade Runner.
No, exactly. Thank you.
And even like compared to, this is a year after The Matrix.
For shame. That is, what planet are we on?
But you could also feel it. Like, you could feel the influence of The Matrix. Sure.
It was obviously like, this is a couple of years after Face Off, a year after Matrix. Someone's like, make Face Off and Matrix, please.
Okay, so how many
but
years
on a Canadian
out,
budget?
What year is it?
2000.
That is shocking to me. So this is Twin Peaks is like well and truly over. It's like in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Is this even after Kyle MacLachlan was in Sex and the City?
It would have been, yeah. But like Kyle MacLachlan, obviously, he's had some very high points in his career, but
he has had some lows.
He did have a big run of straight to video kind of.
This was so bad. Poor Kyle MacLachlan.
But I have to say, like, Stephen Baldwin feels at home in this film.
Yeah, this is a Baldwin vehicle for sure. For sure.
He has the charisma of a wooden block.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've seen three Baldwin performances in this podcast. Mm. Alec Baldwin in Prelude to a Kiss, William Baldwin in Christmas Trade, and now Stephen, who's the superior Baldwin in terms of performance?
Well, it was definitely Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
For being able to feign that he was in love with that old man.
Yeah, just seeing him like so enamored.
Yes, absolutely.
I just remember like a scene where he's at the kitchen table and he's like, I'm in love with you.
But Alec Baldwin's on my shit list now. Sorry. Alec, yeah. You bloody did it.
So who's the worst Baldwin performance?
Oh, Stephen, come on. This was, like you said, yeah, wooden board.
He's bad. He's bad. Like,
I actually felt like he couldn't even walk like a normal person.
Yeah, but was that a performance choice? But,
like, he's a clone and it's like he's all like
but it didn't up. It didn't work. It looked like,
do you know what he reminds you of? I don't know if you'd be so familiar with this, Lucy, but definitely Brendan, you know, like in games, definitely of the last few years, video games with motion capture performances, and you can see that the person looks like a human and like all the details are there, but there's no soul inside.
That's
what he
valley.
Feels like yeah. to me.
Sure.
Like,
and like they had him wearing
dead
these,
eyes.
They had him wearing these shoes that made him look like he had club feet. He was wearing them the whole
and
time.
In these jumpsuits that made him look like his proportions are all out of whack. I don't know what's under there.
But also at the same time, I was like, good for you, honey. Look at how many roles you've got in this movie, you little Baldwin. Like,
because there's Baldwin clones everywhere, so he gets to like interact with himself, and there's like whole construction sites full of Baldwins.
While I was like, oh my god, poor Kyle MacLachlan. I was like, oh, yay for Stephen Baldwin.
But also, like, for a film packed full of sex scenes, why did we not see Stephen Baldwin without a shirt once?
Or
maybe
Kyle
he's
MacLachlan.
Got like, maybe he's got like.
No,
weird...
we saw Kyle MacLachlan without a shirt.
Maybe
without
he's shirt, got weird boils.
He still
or
had
something.
His shirt on in that sex scene.
Oh, yeah,
he did, didn't he?
Yeah, it was, but it was open. We saw his chest.
I actually felt like the way they were shot was him being like, I will not participate in these scenes. Like, I will be the body in the room, but I'm not going to act in these. She was like strangling him with his tie. Oh, terrible.
I don't know, like, if we should really even go into the plot with this film, because it would just waffle on forever.
There were so many twists, not twists, but it just... they could have simplified it. They could have narrowed the focus. They just kept piling in other corners for it to turn. It was so weird.
Because, like, I think the bones are there for a very interesting movie.
Also, I feel like if you had a better budget and, like, you know, Ryan Reynolds or some shit, this could have been, like, up there.
I could see them remaking this film.
Mm.
Like, they probably wouldn't need to because you could strip enough of this plot out that you could claim it's a new idea.
Yeah. The concept of them swapping, like, it being like a thing businessmen do so they can go to meetings on the other side of the country is quite smart, although we have Zoom now, I guess.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, the concept was good, but it just took so many – they made so many weird choices.
Well, yeah, like the concept of a business person, like a corporate elite or, you know, the richest in, you know, the 1% having access to this technology, I think what would have made it better is if the people who they exchanged bodies with, you know, it was all about them like getting their rocks off and being, you know, crazy, doing skydiving and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the people who they exchange their bodies with, for some reason, just get access to, you know, this millionaire's body and get to waltz around the streets.
Yeah,
and
like it instantly that would be something that would be like being sold on the dark web. Like nobody would be doing this ethically. Like,
and who
really,
would
this
dare?
Is the first time this has gone wrong. Like,
who would dare lend their body out to someone
absolutely.
For 24 hours?
The only way it would work is if all you were doing was going into a clone's body. Like,
yeah, if you were told, this body's under lock and key while you're in that other body. Like, that's how I feel like rich people would put it together.
Yeah, I think if this film was remade now, it would definitely be about a rich person going into a poor person's body and doing whatever the fuck they want, and the poor person like being stuck in a room and can't leave with the rich person's body.
Yeah,
and it's showing.
And then
like,
toss them, you know, toss them money,
and then they get back to their own body after being swapped and to see all the like fucked up shit the millionaire did with it.
Yeah. Because like even the security of this concept just baffled me. It's like when you switch bodies, you get, oh well, everyone's got these tags that they wear.
Yeah,
but they're not like
attached
to your body.
Just on a lanyard.
Yeah. So you lose your lanyard, your identity is gone.
Yeah, like, this whole lanyard system seemed fucked because it seems like the whole of society works on this lanyard system as well.
Which sounds like archaic already.
Yeah.
A lanyard system.
Like even in 2000, people would have been going like, this doesn't
lanyards,
seem right.
Really? Yeah.
Because they do like, so the clones have like a device in their arm because the clones can only survive for 7 days before they disintegrate. So they have a thing in their arm that tells them how long they've got left. And that has some sort of tracking ability they say at the end, but like, why aren't they just using that to begin with?
Yeah.
Like, if they have a thing that can attach itself to the arms.
Yeah.
Though it was literally screwed into the arm with Phillip head screws.
Yeah. Like, and then they cut it out of Baldwin's arm.
Yeah.
In one of the most hilarious scenes I've ever seen.
So what, all the things that happened to Stephen Baldwin's body in this film is just a laugh riot. So, like, say he gets his device sliced off with this like superheated, I know, piece of string that he gets from the
like lightsaber technology in a string. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, you can just chop through anything.
And like, she cut so much of his arm off.
Yeah.
Like a psycho. It's like she took pleasure in being like, let's just take this really small thing off your arm. I'm just going to take a huge chunk off. Like, that's fun, right?
Oops, sorry.
Psycho. What a psycho.
And then at the end when they're trapped in this room that the villain has tied him up and put him in a room, explain his whole plan like Bond style.
Yeah.
And then leaves them in the room together. Then she, to escape, she uses the lightsaber string again, accidentally cuts off his finger. And then
that finger thing, that changed the whole genre of the movie for me. I was like, is this for real?
And then the villain conveniently had thrown the key into a vat of acid. So then he puts his hand in the vat of acid to get the key out. For some reason, it doesn't destroy the key.
No, but... yeah, the acid doesn't, yeah, degrade the key. Nor does he consider looking around the room for a utensil to, like, how would you get an egg out of boiling water?
I had to put my whole arm in there.
And how amazing was the like effect on his arm after it came out of the acid? Holy shit. Again, we could do some better shit with things in your fridge than what his arm looked like after. Like, it looked like they'd wrapped it in chicken mince. I don't know. Like, it was bad.
But Stephen Baldwin's, like, yelp when he puts his hand in the vat of acid was priceless. Yeah. That scream was fantastic.
And we'll put that right
here. We'll definitely put that in.
Don't do this!
The villains were hilariously, like, mustache twirling in this film. Like, we went from Brother Bear last episode with no villains to the most cliched villains of all time. Villains who explain, do exposition for their evil plan while fucking each other.
That was out of control. That was
one of my favorite sex scenes of all time.
That was probably the best one of the show.
And like the villains made a bomb out of green, like lime cordial.
Yeah.
See, that was the other thing. This bomb took so long to make. I was expecting it to level a city, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, they just put ball bearings and gunpowder
in cordial.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they make it seem so elaborate, but it's just to blow up some guys in a conference room that doesn't sound like I could build that. Give me the internet. And
and they also have another device that they use in this film, which is these missiles that seek out the people's like
tags.
Lanyard tags,
which, my god, the special effects on that,
terrible.
Fuck.
But also, so Stephen Baldwin has his tag out, so the missile starts tracking him, but then he puts his lanyard back into the velcro pouch. So then the missile's like, I don't know what to do. So then for the rest of the rest of the movie, this missile is just flying around New York.
Yeah. This movie was so long. It went for so long. And there were so many. It's like, we didn't need a little cut of that missile again. What? It's like, why are you trying to make it longer? It was like that car scene.
Yeah.
Where she was driving at the end and it just was endless.
Well,
and the movie was already so fucking long. I needed to go to the toilet for like half an hour.
So they're trapped in the room at the end and the clone timer says he's got 30 minutes left to live. And they manage to get out, like escape the room by like cutting off his finger, going to a vat of acid, having a fight with one of the henchmen, having a standoff with the main bad guy, getting the missile to blow him up, then get into a car, explode a giant tanker, get from outside of New York to New York, participate in an orgy, and then the 30 minutes is over. Like, it takes me 30 minutes to get around like a couple of suburbs in Adelaide, like let alone outside of New York. Into New York should take more than an hour. Itself.
that explosion as well seemed like lots of things in this film were unnecessary, but that would have cost them money.
And it's like they could have spent better money on like making a better Velcro pouch and just cutting out that explosion scene. It was so unnecessary.
The explosion happened for no reason.
Yeah, it didn't hurt anyone. It was like they were like, let's just put in a cool effect here, but it wasn't cool.
And they definitely killed at least four people in that car ride.
I know, right?
At one point, the good guys are driving down the sidewalk and these innocent people are just like running terrified. And screaming, yes. Terrified. Like, I have to say, there was a lot to appreciate in this film on a like stupid level. Like, I had a lot of fun.
I could go on and on. Like, I just have so many notes here. Like, how's the way the guy goes, you're going to love swapping? They call it floating.
Yes. There's a lot of jargon in this film. So we've got, so people that work in the corporate world are called corpies. People that swap bodies are called floaters, and the clones are called Jeffs.
Yeah, Jeff.
Which stood for something, but I can't remember.
Genetically extended.
Engineered. Fuckboys.
But the guy says, you're going to love it. There's nothing like taking a shit in someone else's body. I'm like, of all the things you could be like, just wait until you, it's like, he said taking a shit. Like, I have no words.
Did you see this guy's body? Do you know how regular he is?
Yeah, so, but the thing is, he goes, you got to love it. There's nothing like taking a shit in someone else's body. Look at these biceps. And there was no, like, cut in the sentence. Yes. It was all one thought. Like, having biceps is related to the shit.
Okay, though, I will say I would definitely get down with the exchange technology if I could swap bodies so someone worked out my body for me while
that
I was
is
doing
the best
something.
Concept
yes,
of this whole
absolutely.
Film.
Absolutely.
They could have made a whole film about that.
Yes.
Swapping bodies with your personal trainer so they can do the workout while you just sit there in their body.
Or even just like you could just get other shit done. It's like you could get your body like worked out while you're running errands in that other body that you swap into. Like you could just streamline your whole life and then be hot as fuck and fit.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And that's why I said there's a lot here. Like there's concepts. There's interesting concepts that they do kind of explore stuff in this film. Like how many of the films we do, like we're like, oh, there's something here and they don't really go there. This film goes there at least.
But the sets and everything were just so ugly. I just couldn't.
It's very early 2000s.
I couldn't like immerse myself in the universe properly. It was disgusting. There was a woman that had three framed gerberas in a frame on her, like in her shelf. I just what?
And like that apartment with the
lime
pink
green
wall, the
oh,
pink
yeah.
wall with like a pink ribbon drawing in the middle of the room. Oh, so disgusting.
Wait. So what was the issue with the
so confusing?
I can't remember her name. The love interest. What like? She was like the environmentalist.
Yeah, yeah. Or... I can't remember her name, but yes.
It started with M. It was Miriam, Marilyn.
Miriam?
Yeah, something
well,
like that.
So what was her problem with the swap technology? And
it was exploiting workers somewhere, something?
42 people had died in a mine.
In South Africa?
See, to me, like it seemed like it actually was like the most liberating way of like getting manual labor without like endangering lives.
What, so just by using Jeffs?
Yeah, because they're like empty vessels, right? Mm. They're just clones that they put a consciousness into.
Yeah, so if you've got dangerous work, you could get a worker, exchange them into a clone, and then they can do it in the clone and then go back to their own body. And if they've suffered any injuries, they haven't.
Yeah, I don't actually know what her problem was.
And how
I guess if they die.
How good for the environment is it if people don't have to fly anymore and they can just exchange bodies like that?
Again, we have Zoom, but
yeah, but if you have to go somewhere,
if you want to go to Paris for a weekend, you know,
I'd only do it
if like I could go to Paris as like Angelina Jolie or something. Like I'm not just gonna go into any schlub's body.
Is this Stephen Baldwin?
No, that's Paris can wait. Also, I hate Paris. That's a whole other
you
thing.
You hear us?
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, fuck you, Parisians. We are introduced to the concept of the floaters, like club scene. So there's like nightclubs where only people that have exchanged bodies are allowed to go to the club, and then they all get freaky with each other in their bodies, which kind of like shows me that. Like, why would you trust this system when you know the shit's
this
going on?
This stuff's out there. Yeah.
But at the club, Kyle MacLachlan, well, so the main character, as he's been swapped into Kyle MacLachlan's body, which is actually the terrorist's body, but it's not actually
it's
the
like
terrorist's
Inception,
body.
It's like Inception, but body swaps.
Yeah.
It's like a dream within a dream within a dream. It's so far out.
So he's at this nightclub and he meets
Which I thought was going to be totally different because, like, the whole point of being in someone else's body, you weren't allowed to do, like, recreational drugs. You weren't allowed to do, like, a lot of things.
The whole thing could have just been him trying to get his body back. Like, it didn't need to be, like, terrorist foils and, like, supervillains. It just was like...
This actually reminds me of another film that we watched that was, like, had unnecessary terrorists in it, which was Shaggy Dog.
Right, yeah.
Remember how it's like it could have just been a fun movie about a boy turning into a dog, but it turned into like him stopping Cold War terrorists.
Yes. That's right.
But yeah, but these clubs, right? Wouldn't they be more like a lock-in at a youth group or something? You know what I mean? Like, rather than like these
to
like,
keep an eye on them, like, yeah, they're not supposed to be doing anything naughty.
Yeah, because you can't anyway.
But it ended up, it's like, were these people supposed to be attractive? You know, they'd like bring these women across the screen and you'd be like, is this, are we supposed to like,
yeah, because there were like
thin eyebrows and that awfully weird outfit.
Dressed like 2000.
Because there was one girl, she's like, they're like, look at that model. She, like in real life, she could be ugly and 80 years old.
Yeah.
But like the girl they were looking at, she's like, she's a model.
Insert the meme of Arrested Development. Her? Like, I'm like, that one? And the music in the club. It was just, everything was just hilarious.
So at the club, he meets.
And the whole score. Sorry.
Yeah.
The music. We need to do a whole thing about the music.
We'll get back to the music. But at the club, he meets the character that I really felt for the most, which was Gloria. So Gloria is this woman.
Nymphomaniac
that he meets.
And a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Sugar bear? What is she called?
Yeah, sugar bear, yeah. So he meets her at the club and she immediately like tries to have sex with him, and then they go home, they have sex with each other. And then later in the film, they need somewhere to hide out. So he's like, she gave me her number. Because one thing we didn't mention about this futuristic society is that there's a curfew and you can't be out after
and, like,
a certain
time. Why?
They didn't ever explain. So him and his love interest, they go stay at the nymphomaniac's house. She's more than happy to host both of them.
And
no
she just
question
doesn't
asked.
Even question why there's another woman there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No
yeah.
questions asked. She accommodates him. He turns her down for sex, which is fine, consent, whatever. But then at the end of the film, they come back to the house because she's got like a
body swapping,
like an illegal body swapping device in her house so that she doesn't have to go to the exchange corporation.
So she can have like all these wild orgies with like swapped people. So I don't understand the appeal of like, why would that be better than having sex with the person as who they are? I don't understand. Yeah. Again, unless it's Angelina Jolie, I don't get it.
They go to a house, interrupt an orgy she's having at her house, demand that they...
By gunpoint.
demand that they use her body swapping machine, have this violent shootout at her house, and then at the end, when she's trying to be like nice to them, they're like, fuck off.
Yes.
Like, justice for Gloria. Like,
but also, she needs to see someone for her sex addiction. Like, you could tell it was, like, impinging on her, like, having a normal life.
Yeah.
She was thirsty AF.
Yeah. She's literally, like, removing herself from her own body in order to have sex.
Yeah.
On a daily basis. But, yes, the musical score of this film was very strange.
None of the songs matched.
Yeah, so everything in this film, or the musical score of this film was very like a Cambodian tribal chant.
Yeah, like Hindi and...
Hindi, yeah. Which like, it actually reminded me a bit of like the scores for Mortal Kombat and Tomb Raider and all those films, but those were set in exotic locales, whereas this was set in New York and San Francisco.
But then it's like, then all of a sudden they'd have this full-on grungy song, and then there was like this piano.
So out of place,
there was this piano monologue bit, like they had, and then it's like they literally faded a song over the top of it for the next scene that was happening, which I think was maybe a sex scene, and all the sex scenes had weird music. Like, it was something else.
Like, on a production value level, this film is surprisingly poor, seeming that this director has some credits behind his name. So, like, Empire Records to this, like, it's been a while since I've watched Empire Records. Have either of you guys seen it recently?
Yeah,
no.
I did.
And on a production value level, does it hold up?
Absolutely.
Well, it's a one location film.
Yeah, but even a one location film can be directed poorly, you know.
Empire Records is still so fun. It's a great film.
Yeah. There's simple scenes in this film.
What, are you going to debate me on that?
No, I was going to say, I was at work and I was chatting to one of the other staff members who's, you know, like 15 years younger than me.
Yeah.
But I
love that. Love that.
I was talking about Empire Records and they're like, what? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm old now.
Well, how's my husband revealed to me recently that he hadn't seen Empire Records? And I was like, wait a fucking minute. And we watched it like straight away. Yeah.
One thing that I thought you would have enjoyed about this vision of the future, Lucy, is that in this far future, High Fidelity is still playing at the cinema.
Did I miss that?
In one of the shots when they were driving past the cinema.
There was no way that was intentional.
It was on the billboard, High
no
Fidelity.
There was no way that was intentional. That's hilarious. Like, you know the way a lot of people had these weird chains on their outfit?
Yeah, but like as you know,
we
can pay out these fashions, but the way fashion is cyclical, like yeah. everyone's going to be wearing this ugly shit very soon.
Yeah. I mean, they already are. Yeah. There are some just crazy mullets out there. Just...
Yeah. And there's like some of the like ugly ass outfits in this film, like you could actually buy now again.
Yeah.
I just hope those like really baggy men's suits don't ever come back.
And very so gross. Thin eyebrows.
Yeah.
Ugh. It was dangerous. Just like so many weird camera, like I don't even know what you call a lot of the effects they were doing, like that weird shuddery thing.
Yeah, so one of my favorite reviewers, his name is Vern, he has a term for that and he calls them avid farts. So avid is the program that they use to edit. And
okay.
Those stupid effects that they do to
I love it.
Yeah, speed things up and make it shuddery and like transitions between edits, like white filling up the screen.
Yeah, when you're like, I have no idea how to transition to this next next scene or
they might as well have been doing star wipes.
And again, like I don't want to like bring this up again, like but like Bo Burnham made a whole thing in his house by himself with equipment that he bought and it looked like $1 million. Like, there's no excuse.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair,
I will not
technology
hear it.
Is a lot better now.
I guess, but 20, still.
This is 21 years ago.
Yeah, but Singles was 35 years ago and it looked better. Jesus, is it really that much older? That's just out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to die soon.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You'll have to exchange.
Exchange?
Travel will set it up with you right now.
But I don't switch bodies, you know that.
Jesus, Stuart, stop being so 20th century. You'll like floating. It's a snap. You won't believe it when you take a shit in somebody else's body. Look at these biceps.
Yeah.
Now it's time for our favorite segment, Hot or Not.
And I have a proposal for this.
Okay.
Hot or Not. That we don't do any of the characters and we just do all the people that were in the orgy. We just hot or not. Hot or not those people.
No. Denied. But I do have another proposal. Since we're all in the same room.
Oh no.
Can
what?
We all sing the theme song
oh,
together?
Yeah. And all the like end bit will be in sync for once.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's
we can hope.
Me, 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 me.
La 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 la. All right. Who's going to be the conductor?
No one.
We'll go from here.
We'll go from here.
That was amazing, guys. We need to record the Hot or Not theme.
Should we
do harmonies?
Should we release
be
the album?
A band? Yeah. Let's fuck this podcast right off and bloody storm the charts.
We'll call ourselves Indianapolis is Radioactive.
Oh my God, I wanted to bring that up. I forgot. I have just one thing to say to you. Indianapolis, but it's radioactive.
All right.
And then we come in.
And like, why is it? It's the same with the fucking curfew. It's like, what is your story talking about?
Yeah,
here?
I want to know why Indianapolis is radioactive.
You know how like, was his name? R.K. Tolkien?
Who?
Is it
J.R.
Tolkien?
Are you doing Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings game.
Oh my god, people will be screaming at their phones right now. Can you believe they'd be like, fuck you for not knowing?
Like, do you reckon he went like the guy who wrote this film has like tomes of like backstory on like Indianapolis curfews, you know how like
the Hobbit,
wrote Elvis language and stuff like that.
I reckon the first draft of this film was like a 4-hour epic.
I know, I couldn't believe how
the
fucking
first
long
act is all set in Indianapolis. All right, so here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me, are they hot or not? Ding.
Wait, we've got the. Where's the...
It's too late now.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
Can you believe we used to be that committed to... We played a triangle every week for this.
Now we're like, ding.
We can't get it out the bottom of the cupboard.
We didn't even We didn't even pre-record it so that we could just use it every time.
I know.
Idiots.
I think we actually should record it and do little harmonies and...
Yeah.
Some backing track.
Go to Browntown Studios.
And we also need to send a fucking trophy to Melora Hardin.
Yeah, I know. Now that the bold time has ended, she needs something
least,
in her life.
At least just get one made and, that we can have.
Yeah, like, now that we've got commercials, we've got a budget.
Yeah.
Like a very small budget.
$13. Yeah.
Let's start with Stephen Baldwin as... Clone number one.
Jeff.
My name's Jeff.
That's what I've been thinking this whole time.
So, yeah, Stephen Baldwin, he's listed as clone number one on IMDb. I can't remember any of the names of what that character was supposed to be called. I know the...
Topher?
Fisk?
Toffer?
Toffler? Something?
Toffler?
Toffler?
Fisk was never in a Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Fisk was in Kyle MacLachlan at one point.
Yes.
But we never saw that. We just know about it.
Wait, can we circle back just to that scene?
Do we have to?
It's so ridiculous that he went to all the trouble to like elude the security and like find that Jeff body and get switched into it so that he could walk out unbeknownst to anyone else. And then when security's like, hey, like, where's your tag?
And he fucks them up.
Which he's got a tag. And then he just goes, and then picks the guy up and throws him across the room. Like, it just ruined the entire plan. He just had to show his tag and walk out the room.
You fucking moron. Yeah. Okay. Well, so, is Stephen Baldwin hot? Is that the question?
Yeah.
That's a no from me, dog.
There's angles where he could almost
completely, and like, he's got like very blue eyes like a Siberian husky, but he also looks very stupid.
Yeah, and you know how I like hot dumb guys.
Yeah,
it's the hot dumb guys that seem like they have like a good heart to go with it, like stupid and nice.
But this, he literally looks like when they would call cut, he would just like power down. He just didn't look like a human man.
He looked like broody dumb.
Yeah. But yeah, he is definitely a not for me. I'm sorry. I think I'm pretty sure, like, Alec definitely got a hot on that episode. I can't remember if we gave William a hot or not.
I don't think so.
It's not looking good for the Alec Baldwin brothers.
Has Stephen Baldwin played a stoner in something? Like, what am I thinking of?
He's definitely played a stoner in something.
But, was it? Biodome? Was he in Biodome? Was he the other guy in Biodome?
I think he was in Biodome.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was in Biodome.
That character.
And like, he's in that movie where like a girl is in a relationship with two guys and they're like.
Three Sam.
Is that what it's called?
No, Thruple? He wasn't in that, was he?
I don't know, but he still seems like that stoner to me. Like he's just constantly going to come out with like, whoa, dude. Like he just, there's something very just. I don't know. He's probably got a PhD or something. I've
How many roles do you think Stephen Baldwin's had in his career?
4,000, like a lot.
107.
Yeah.
107 directors were like, that's the man for the job. That's insane to me.
Yeah, but you know that's like maybe 70 of those credits are all the Jeffs he played in this movie. Like he had so many different roles.
No. It's when his agent calls like a casting agents, he's like, I got one word for you, Baldwin. And they're like, Baldwin, we'll take Baldwin. And he's like,
they're like, it's not Alec. They're like, oh, that's fine. Billy Baldwin, that's fine. We'll take him. It's like, no, further down the totem there.
All right. So Kim Coates. Okay. So it was Toffler as Toffler. So he's the main character in his original body.
Mm-hmm.
Hot or not, Brendan.
Okay. So the original guy, the guy we started out with.
The original guy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No.
Is that it? no further.
Like, I really don't see these little things that you guys do that I don't know. Pop, I assume one of you might say that he is, but I'm just like, hey, it just looks like a dude.
So he's gonna get a no from me, but with a little asterisk saying that he reminded me sort of. He reminded me of the actor that plays Lenny Bruce in Mrs. Maisel, and that guy's hot. So
yeah,
I can
this
see
guy
that.
Doesn't get a hot, but that Lenny Bruce guy is chef's kiss.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. He definitely is. Yeah, I'm going to give this guy a not as well. He just had general sleazebag vibes. Wasn't particularly good looking to make up for it. So I'm sorry. Pascale Bussieres as Madeline. Love interest, yeah.
Poor eyebrows, my God, that poor woman, victim of the time, and also that hair.
That is the ugliest haircut I've ever seen.
It looked like she'd been in a, it looked like she had my hair but was in a wind tunnel, and then they put her on screen. It was going up and down, it was flicking out and in. And
yeah, it kind of looked like an early 2000s interpretation of Emily? Carol Brady.
Yes, okay.
Flick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was out of control.
Futuristic.
I think there probably is a beautiful woman in there, but the eyebrows and the hair, it really.
But what about those titties? Am I right, Brendan?
They're actually kind of pointy in the ear.
Excuse me, I get to be the authority on
this. Okay, go on.
Judge
talk
her
about
boobs.
The titties.
Spectacular. You guys are all wrong. I'll give her a 5.
Out of 10.
Wait, we don't even
do, number
wait, but when we do breasts, right, we do.
So get hot or not as a person.
I'll give her a hot, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give her a not. She annoyed me and I hated her hair so
much. And it's also just like, what is your cause? We don't understand. Make it clear what you're fighting for.
Yes.
Also, I didn't really answer if I think hot or not, but I don't want to.
That's not the game.
I said my piece. I said, there's a beautiful woman in there, but...
with wonky boobs.
Yeah, and weird eyebrows. No, her boobs were fine. Like, boobs are different sizes. I think you're just used to seeing, like, big fake tits in porn, Brendan.
Yeah.
No, you said I said she was great.
Yeah, actually, I'll give the director this. Like, the boobs in this film felt very natural. Like... if you compare them to
real,
like...
that's a real win for feminism.
Well, if you look like a film like The Sex Trip, every time we saw boobs, they had like zero motion to them and they were pointing up into the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like these felt like real breasts to me. Like,
yeah.
They're probably the most realistic thing in the whole film.
Women with their original parts. I love to see it. Yeah.
Kyle MacLachlan as, I guess, Fisk. I mean, he was multiple people in this film.
Kyle MacLachlan will always be... Agent Cooper.
And they always get, like, he hasn't changed his haircut. He is still Dale
Cooper.
And,
like, even the way he was smoking in this movie, it was just like, it's just like, evil he's Cooper. Always him. He's always him. So he gets a hot from me. That slick back hair, that's fine. Let's never talk about Trey from Sex and the City, but.
Yeah. Brendan?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
So you give me my heart?
Yeah. I like.
And also, like, it was hot that you could see how much he hated this movie. Like, you could still see he's like, I'm a respectable man and I'm doing this piece of shit, but I know it, so it's fine.
I'm going to give him a not. I don't mind him as an actor. Like, I don't have an issue with him as an actor. But in terms of attractiveness, I've never found him attractive.
That's weird for you.
What about that chest?
He has a chest.
That hair, that strong hairline, that pushback hair.
What about the way he just laid there while the other person had sex with him?
Yeah, and how, like, she strangled him. You're into stuff like that, right, Paul?
What? Since when?
Hetero, like, choking sex?
Okay, so Janet Kidder as Alison DeWay. The female villain. Pooh, all this film, all I could think of is that she looks exactly like Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, it's the American.
I thought, is she from the L Word? She is really like haunting me. I'm like, where have I seen you?
She was in Fleabag. Familiar.
Okay, I just, no one holds a candle to Phoebe, so that's, I'm not, granted.
It felt kind of weird seeing someone that looks so much like Phoebe Waller-Bridge being like this gross softcore sex scene just felt gross.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was a beautiful lady.
Yeah.
And I liked how like over the top, like awful villain she was. So I'm going to give her a hot.
Yeah. She gets a hot, but still eyebrows, hair, my God, but sign of the times, I guess.
And you know, I think we need to give justice to Gloria. So I'm going to override everyone and,
in her true form.
Yes. Lisa Brunwyn Moore as Gloria in her true form.
Yeah, I'd love to see a sex positive woman on screen.
Yeah. I'm gonna give her a hot.
The last thing I need are the feds poking around in here. I do not want the media exposure.
Won't it look like we're trying to cover
something? God, just do your job.
No problem.
Oh, and Walt. Hmm? Screw this up, and I have just one thing to say to you. Indianapolis.
Indianapolis is radioactive.
Okay, let's get to Opinion Swap, where we find some interesting reviews of Exchange from across the interwebs. Okay, so...
We should change the name of this segment to Opinion Exchange.
So this film has 19 reviews on Letterboxd, so that was a whole lot.
That's it. Wow, okay.
Yeah. This film is hard to track down, guys. I had to order the DVD off the
internet. Yeah, and now it lives in your house forever. Yes, can you believe
it'll be on my shelf forever. But yeah, this film, you can't even download it like in a cheeky way. There's no way to get your hands on this film.
Did you buy it off eBay or something like that?
I bought it off eBay for $4.
Directly from Stephen Baldwin, I'm sure.
And you know what? I suggest our listeners do the same. It's like for $4, you can own Exchange and it will be part of your life forever. So,
and there's something in there for everyone.
Yeah, I just want to know other people in the world that have seen it. Like, just to know.
I'm about to tell you.
Yeah.
So Mitch Ropp, he gives it 3 stars. And he says, what a movie. Stephen Baldwin at his best since The Usual Suspects. Gratuitous sex scenes, Toronto pretending to be New York City, and social commentary on corporatism. Inception for smart people.
Ah, for smart people. Oh, my God.
Take that, Christopher Nolan, you piece of shit.
Leonardo DiCaprio, your award-winning actor.
So this one is from Adam. He gives it 1 star and he said, this was rough. Underutilized Kyle MacLachlan and overutilized Stephen Baldwin. Basically is an attempt at making Face Off but with futuristic cyberpunk technology, but it falls flat. Seeing a team of Stephen Baldwin clones working at a construction site is pretty funny though.
Yeah, what a great review. Well done.
Yeah, we could have just read that.
Yeah.
Do you ever write reviews?
I I'm on Letterboxd and I write a review for every single movie I watch.
Oh my God. Yeah. I can't wait to find
like
your
every single one.
Every single one. Yeah. I log every movie I watch and I review every single movie I watch.
So people listening to this podcast, if they were to go to your Letterboxd, they could find a written review about every film we've seen.
Yes.
And when you die, you want it turned into a book. Am I right?
Yeah.
And sent into space.
Well, at least, you know, put my Lizzie McGuire review on my tombstone.
Okay. Granted.
So this one's from Gristle McNerd on Letterboxd, who gives it 3 stars. And he says, surprisingly entertaining for a gritty reboot of Overdrawn at the Memory Bank. Although with the amount of sex scenes in this thing, it may technically qualify as a porn parody. But I've never heard of this Overdrawn.
No.
Memory Bank.
Is that one to add to the list?
It might have to be. I'll put a bit of research in. Yeah.
I find it hard to believe there's a better version of this film.
So finally, this is from Bonehead on Letterboxd. He doesn't give it a star review, but he says, feels like they wanted to make Lost Highway into an accessible sci-fi original movie, but somehow made it make less sense. And it also sucks. Shout out to the ADR team because y'all were probably partying too hard to do your jobs well, and that's cool.
What's ADR?
When they like dub over the
all those show. Lines that yeah, yeah. Wow. Like there were so many moments where you could literally see the face of the character speaking and then lips weren't moving. And they're saying like when he enters the house, when Stephen Baldwin? I've already forgotten which Baldwin.
Yeah. I just keep calling him Baldwin.
Baldwin. Yeah. When he enters the house, there's like him telling his computer house to turn on the lights, to do this,
and
to do
definitely
that.
Definitely not talking.
His mouth is like muted. Like.
Brilliant.
Oh, shut up. Do it now. You better show me a family album and make sure I don't resemble your mother. Pull my hair. Harder.
So now it's time for tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a movie, TV show, song, album, book, video game, whatever, that is connected to today's movie in some way.
Hmm.
So I'm going to go first because I'm scared that one of you guys
will take
done
it.
The same thing.
I can't wait to see because I don't think it will be mine.
Because I put in research for this. So when I saw that we were doing this film.
So it's not Empire Records.
It's not Empire Records.
I think I've already recommended that.
I think we've all recommended it.
So I looked at Alan Moyle, the director's filmography, and I saw his debut film was a 1990 Christian Slater vehicle called Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, amazing.
Have you guys seen this?
Yes. Yep.
I thought Lucy would have seen this. So I thought she was going to do this.
Yep.
But it's such a Lucy film. Like
so
I would have been
shocked. I
actually
can't believe Brendan hasn't seen it.
I'm shocked she didn't recommend it, and I'm shocked that Brendan hasn't seen it. So
yeah, I just didn't go into the cast at all. I just thought of something quickly. So I feel like if I had researched that, I definitely would have done it.
So I'd never seen the film before. So when I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. Yet again, it was another one that's very hard to track down in Australia at the moment. It's on no streaming services.
Yeah, bummer.
So that one I did have to be a bit cheeky for, but I managed
to. Terminology, being a bit cheeky.
Being cheeky.
The FBI's like, whoop, whoop. You wouldn't steal a movie.
So I'm definitely glad I did it. It's a really interesting film. So it's a teen high school film, but it's about this kind of outcast kid that's been forced to move to a like I think it's Colorado or somewhere from New York City by his parents. And he has no friends. So he uses this radio that his parents gave him to like speak to his friends back in New York. But he uses it to start broadcasting a pirate radio station. And all the kids in the town start being obsessed with the music that he's recommending and the stuff he has to say. He's like very
hard or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, he's very like sexual and like pretends to be having orgasms on air and they all think it's very scandalous. But then
great soundtrack. Like I think it's like the Pixies and
amazing 90s soundtrack. But then a kid rings up because he takes callers. A kid rings up and says that he wants to kill himself and he doesn't really take it seriously. But then the kid does kill himself. And then all the adults in the town start blaming the radio station and they want to shut it down. But then it's also Christian Slater character kind of dealing with that suicide and seeing, is it my fault? And then there's like this girl that because no one in the town knows who's doing the radio station and this girl that works it out. And she starts like helping him. And it's a really cool movie. That I'm surprised isn't talked about more because it's so like, you know, Christian Slater.
I think it gets a little bit eclipsed by maybe like Heathers and but it was so good.
Yeah, it should be kind of discussed in that breath.
I feel like
era.
As well, like it has quite a lot of relevance now. Like what he's doing kind of is like having his own YouTube channel or something.
Podcast?
Exactly. Yeah. So it still feels fresh.
Yeah. And I could definitely see this being remade now and it being about a kid. And
but it never should be because, my God, 90s Christian Slater is everything.
Yeah, and, you know, hats off to the director. He didn't get Baldwin shirtless in this film, but he gets Christian Slater shirtless in that film for no reason at all.
Yeah,
there's just a scene.
Other than my wet dream.
Yeah, there's a scene where he's just like, I'm going to take my shirt off, and he does.
Yeah, he was just hot that day.
Yeah, so, but yeah. Pump Up the Volume, definitely worth seeking out any way you can.
Okay.
Lucy.
Okay. So who, when you think of Kyle MacLachlan, Kyle MacLachlan is who to you, Brendan?
Well, Dale Cooper.
Yeah. And you?
Daisy's dad in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, whatever. That's, I'm like not buying that. And then who is he like next tier down? Who is he?
The guy in Sex and the City.
Okay, I would go Blue Velvet next. What about you?
Well, I can't remember the guy's name in Blue Velvet.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like,
but that's what I remember.
But,
so yeah, sure.
he is Trey from Sex and the City.
Yeah.
When you like go down the chain. And, like, the most embarrassing character, like, impotent and just stunted and just terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't even know if this is allowed, but I am recommending a podcast called Sentimental in the City, okay. Which is, like, a little subsect of a podcast called Sentimental Garbage.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's these two chicks do a deep dive on all the seasons of Sex and the City, and they did it during lockdown as their like little project to stay alive.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's like very sweet and honest and like poignant, and they point out the things that are wrong with it, but you know, they're like, we're not here to like woke police Sex and the City. Yeah. They say we don't know the most about Sex and the City, but we feel the most about Sex and the City. And it was I would listen to it in the middle of the night when my son wouldn't go to sleep and I was like trying to settle him and I needed to stay awake, so I'd have it in my headphones and I was like feeding in the middle of the night, and it really kept me going, and it was really good.
So where are the girls from? Like,
One of them is I think they might both be writers, but one of them has the Sentimental Garbage podcast. You know, it's her show, and then she had her like bestie on that loves the show, loves Sex and the City, and they did those episodes together. I really should know both of their names. One of them is Irish, and one of them is from England.
Okay,
and they're really very smart ladies.
It's too bad they took the concept, so we can't like transition into a Sex and the City recap.
Yeah, I actually
podcast.
Was going to ask here, asking a straight man and a gay man, did you watch Sex and the City?
Yeah, I watched.
Yeah. What about you?
I remember watching it when it was on.
Yeah, because it had sex in it. Yeah.
When it was on, like it was one of the only things on TV that you could see like boobies and stuff.
Yeah, and dicks. and dicks. Isn't it famously like the first show that had a dick in it? What is something?
I don't think. The show never had a penis in it.
It did. You see Richard's penis.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you had to pause it, but it was there.
Yeah, because like the movie had like a full-on.
He jumped
on,
in
like,
the pool naked.
In the movie, they had like a full-on like slow-mo shot of a penis.
Yeah.
Which like the show never had.
And also I think it was the first time a woman said cunt on TV.
Yeah, that was true, yeah.
In America.
Yeah, in America.
Well, I can't believe I just said it in the podcast. Yeah.
Cunt. All right. So, good recommendation.
Garbage. I reckon you'd like it, Paul.
Sentimental Garbage.
Mm-hmm. Brendan.
So, my recommendation is based on the villains of this movie.
Yeah.
That they were in this relationship and they were cheesy and two-dimensional.
Yeah.
And the movie I'm recommending is Hudson Hawk, which...
Okay.
I know some people think it's garbage and some people think it's genius.
I've never even heard of it.
You've never heard of Hudson Hawk?
No.
Bruce Willis, the 90s, I think. And it's a film where it's like you think it's a basic like action film and it just becomes more and more ludicrous. It's people say that it's supposed to be straight, but I swear that this movie is all about like a wink to the camera saying, yeah, this is how dumb Bruce Willis films are. And so Richard E. Grant and Sandra Bernhard, are these like villains who like ham it up, eat every part of the scenery,
and they're in a relationship.
Yeah,
I feel like films really try to teach us that's great fodder for sex.
Yeah, they're super
like doing evil
sexual
shit.
With each other, and like, yeah, they're like they love each other, and they're just like over the top and excellent as supervillains.
So it's Sandra Bernhardt and Bruce Willis having sex.
No, Richard E. Grant. Other like
I
the
love
villains.
Richard E. Grant. Yeah, he was in Spice World.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Bruce Willis and Annie McDowell are the like love interest leads, right?
I love Annie McDowell as well. Mm. Good job.
But I whenever I think of the film, I think of Richard E. Grant because there's some great lines in there. But anyway. Highly recommend it. It's a fun comedy. It's dumb and
even if it's
hilarious.
Not supposed to be a comedy.
It is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
I don't care about you or your father. I don't care about any of this. I just want my body back. So just tell me where Fisk is and you'll never hear from me again.
You want your body? Turn around.
So where are we ranking Exchange among the films we've covered on the podcast?
I'm going to put it in between Ice Angel, aka On Thin Ice Skating for the Gold, and Like Father, Like Son. It was fun to watch because it's just mind-blowing that these films exist, but it was bad. And, you know, I'm not going to give it points.
So as far as, like, your affection for bad films, you think...
The list is so weird
Ice
and
Angel
subjective.
Baby or whatever it's called.
Yes.
Is a funner bad film than this.
Yes.
Okay.
Or no. It's just a slightly better film in general.
Wait, I thought Ice Age, you put Ice Baby Skating for the Gold.
Ice Baby.
On top.
So you're saying it's a better film than this one.
Yes. Okay. Like it's not a better bad film. It's just like a better movie in general. Like if we had to make a list of so bad it's good, the list would be completely different. And I know Paul's going to probably put it really high up because he laughed so much in the sex scenes, but I guess that's because he's just not used to seeing naked women. It's pretty low down for me. It was so bad.
Yeah, I'm putting it kind of halfway-ish. I am going to put it below the Shaggy DA and above Chances Are.
Okay.
And Chances Are is just above Selfless. So I feel like it is around that kind of...
Yeah, definitely.
It's kind of Alba. Like the incompetently made version of Selfless.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Between Shaggy DA and Chances Are. So yeah, right down the middle. I would recommend watching it overall. I think it was a fun watch.
Yes, I agree. But still, if you have to rank films that have with like Tom Hanks in it and stuff, yeah. it needs to be taught a lesson.
Yeah. But and I also very much appreciate films that actually try to do something a bit interesting rather than just giving us the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, but when it's done so badly, it deserves a slap on the wrist.
Well, I feel the same way, but mine's going above Selfless because I would probably watch this again over Selfless.
No,
yeah.
Hard disagree.
And then underneath Tammy and the T-Rex. So there's my spot.
So next episode, hopefully we can do it again in person again. So I have chosen the 1978 film starring Warren Beatty, Charles Grodin, and Julie Christie, Heaven Can Wait.
Oh, wow.
Where a Los Angeles Rams quarterback, accidentally taken away from his body by an over-anxious angel before he was meant to die, returns to life in the body of a recently murdered millionaire.
They do not change these fucking movies. So, I'm like, are you sure we haven't watched that?
So Down to Earth was an actual remake of, like, an official remake of this film.
Yeah. Wait.
And Ice Angel was a ripoff. Ice Angel was a ripoff. Down to Earth was an actual remake. So
authorized, sure.
Yeah. So let's see if Warren Beatty can do better than Chris Rock.
Well, I'm looking forward to knowing who all these people are because I have no clue who any of those people are.
Charles Grodin is from Heart and Souls, right?
Yeah, the one that just died recently.
Oh.
And Warren Beatty, you know.
Very famous actor.
Very famous actor.
Famously read out the wrong name at the Oscars, right?
Yeah.
I'm still drawing
face
blanks.
He's from bloody Bonnie and Clyde, isn't he?
Yeah, and Dick Tracy and...
Still. For shame. Look forward.
Jeez. Do you know your wife's name?
Well, it was very nice having you guys over again to record.
Yeah.
It was like old times again.
You kept my blanket nice and clean for me.
So until next time, you're an actual piece of shit if you don't view us on iTunes. I don't know how clearer I could get about this.
Like, are they still coming or?
No, it's actually stalled for a bit. I'm very disappointed.
And have you written us a letter lately? Like,
I know.
Could you call sometimes?
Could
would
our
it kill you?
Could our listeners be any worse is what I'm saying.
Oh, they're so nice. I can't believe anyone listens to us doing this.
Yeah. Review us on fucking iTunes.
I'm just going to figure out how to get the clickbait people, not the clickbait, you know, the click farm.
Yeah, we'll just
to do it, to write us reviews. It couldn't cost that much, right? I just want to do fucking Face Off.
Yeah.
And I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Brendan Levi. I'm not as angry as these guys. There, I'm just going to end with some chill tunes.
Bye.
Bye. The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.